Fear and anxiety are in the air. What's the difference between them, and what is the remedy? Fear has to do with a clear and present danger. The sound of footsteps behind you on the sidewalk at night on the other side of the tracks. The report of a lion being loose in your neighborhood, something that happened in Houston not too long ago, if you recall. The fear of losing your job because of a reason you hadn't even considered a couple of years ago. A misunderstood post, a misused pronoun. Exercising your freedom of conscience about a medical decision. That's fear. Anxiety is a strong feeling that something bad is about to happen, even though you have no idea what it might be. Fear and anxiety. No doubt some of our own parishioners are feeling fear and anxiety. If you're feeling these things, you're not alone. And know that the church is in solidarity with you in prayer. Feelings of fear might be about the Delta variant that is making some of our parishioners quite ill. The horrible situation related to the withdrawal of our troops from Afghanistan. The way the economy is sagging because of the supply chain and the shortage of those willing to work. The violence that plagues our major cities and the rising popularity of Marxism in our schools and in our government. The fires in the West, the hurricanes in the South, the flooding in the East, these are things that some of our parishioners are afraid of, and with good reason. Some of our parishioners are anxious about things that are less clear, but not at all impossible to imagine. What is coming next in the ongoing saga of the coronavirus? What lies are we being told, and what truths are being hidden from us? What is the future of my job, given the climate of political correctness? Will I have to choose between a deeply held conviction of my conscience and ongoing employment from the company that provides my salary and benefits? Fear and anxiety are powerful, but they are conquered by the virtue of hope, the hope spoken of in the scripture readings today. From the Old Testament reading, "Thus says the Lord, say to those whose hearts are frightened, be strong, fear not. Here is your God. He comes to save you." From the Psalm, "The Lord shall reign forever through all generations." The Lord shall reign, not fear, not anxiety, not evil. The Lord shall reign. From St. James, "Did not God choose those who are poor in the world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom?" God watches out for those in trouble. God keeps close to him those who follow him. And what did they say of our Lord in the gospel? "See, he does all things well." This is our God. This is our Lord. He does all things well. These are words of hope, and hope conquers fear and anxiety. People of faith have dealt with fear in every place and in every century. The Roman Empire, the most sophisticated empire of its day, known for its lasting achievements in architecture, engineering, and law, the Roman Empire persecuted mercilessly those Christians who refused to offer incense at the altars of the gods of Rome. Women and men, girls and boys were made to suffer unspeakable tortures and gruesome deaths, even being fed to the lions in the midst of tens of thousands of spectators. And what happened in ancient Rome has been repeated in every land and every age. Yet from the martyrs of Rome and from the martyrs of far-flung countries has sprung forth bold and lasting testimony to the truth of our Christian faith. In every place where Christians have died for their faith, new Christians have blossomed forth to tell the stories of the martyrs, stories of heroism, determination, and great faith. No matter how hard the authorities have tried to suppress the Christian faith, like a cork forced to the bottom of the water, it keeps coming right back up to the surface. The blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church. The blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church. Now, what do you suppose happened to the loved ones the martyrs left behind, the spouses, the children? Who took care of them? The answer is the body of Christ, the church. Christians pulled together. They took care of one another. They rose to the occasion presented by oppression and persecution. Babies were nursed. Infants were watched over. Toddlers were guided. Children were taught. And teenagers received the guidance and direction they needed to become young women and men proud to bear the name Christian. Thus it was, and thus it shall be evermore. What happens to you in the worst case? What happens if you lose your job because of religious intolerance? If you are put on an enemies list and deprived of basic human rights? And if your family is made to suffer because of an unpopular stand your properly formed conscience directed you to make? And please do not say that it cannot happen, because it happened in the Western world less than 100 years ago to the sons and daughters of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And it happened to St. Maximilian Kolbe. And it happened to our patron saint, St. Teresa Benedicta of the Cross. Could you be a martyr? The church speaks of martyrs and confessors, those who die for the faith and those who suffer greatly for the faith. We Christians do not court martyrdom. Nor do we count our standing in the world so valuable that we would deny the name of Jesus and the public expression of our faith. For this we will go all the way, even to the point of persecution and martyrdom. St. John Paul suffered greatly through both Nazism and communism. And when he began his pontificate in 1978, he urged those who seek to live the gospel, "Be not afraid." Those were the first words in the first homily that he preached as Pope. Be not afraid. St. John Paul would live to see the collapse of the Berlin Wall and the inauguration of democracy throughout Eastern Europe and in his own native land of Poland. He became a saint because he knew the Lord and because he acted with heroic virtue. He refused to live in fear. And he is an example of how we should live in this crazy, upside-down world. The world is better because of St. John Paul. And I pray that God is raising up others like him to lead and to be the light, to live with no fear. The question is, what will you be? What will you be? Will you succumb to the paralysis of fear and anxiety? Or will you be a saint, trusting that you and your family will be sustained and supported by God's hand working through his body, the church? One who suffered many beatings and floggings, St. Paul says, I consider the sufferings of the present to be as nothing compared with the glory to be revealed. St. Peter gives us great hope with his words, for a little while you may have to suffer through various trials, so that the genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold, may prove to be for praise, glory, and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is our hope. Jesus Christ is our good shepherd who leads us through the twists and turns, the ups and downs, even through the valley of the shadow of death. And with Jesus Christ as our shepherd, we need not fear.